All right, praise God. How's everybody? Good? Doing good. We're tilting over here a little. We're heavy on this side, not weight wise, but good to see how everybody's like, "Hey, Pastor." No, not like that. But we got some empty spaces right here. We got room in the family. That's good, right? But I'm really glad to see you all. Man, God is so good. You know, I told you guys I woke up this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning with the worst sore throat, and I don't even think had to wake up a few times, kind of get the. I literally had like six of those, the vitamin C, the emergencies. I ate like six of them. I was like, I need all I can do. I went every kind of antibiotic I could find in the medicine cabinet. So I'm cured. No, that's what I did in singing worship today, which I love. But it really is a blessing to see Lily and the team worshiping. And so God is good. Yes. Hope you guys all had a blessed week. This week was an interesting week for me. I went up to SciCon. Never gone up to SciCon as a counselor. Yeah, Christian's like, yeah. Yeah, as a student, right? Yeah, it was, you know, it's a different experience. It's only 3 days now. It used to be 5 days. And at first I was like, man, the kids should have a full 5 day experience. I thank God it's only 3 days as a counselor. I'm not going to lie. But I had a great time with my son. We had a blast up there. But man, it was a cool experience to be up there, but it's also very challenging to try to keep 12, 11-year-olds to do anything. You know, it's like, get off the rock, stop throwing that. What are you doing with that log? Put that down. It's like, man, just constant, like, I was like, by the time I got down, I was just tired, like fatigued. And I'm not going to say their names, but I said this one kid's name probably 200 times. Hey, stop. It nonstop. You probably know who he is. I'm not going to say his name because... But I had a blessed time, and it just, you know, you forget the aromas of being in nature, but also in a cabin with 12 kids. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even making this up. I went into one side of the cabin with the other counselor. I said, man, bro, your cabin smells like armpit. He walks into mine. He says, your side smells like feet. So didn't matter where I went. I couldn't get away from it. But I'm back. We made it. And God is good, so, and I think maybe that's where I got a little sick, I don't know. I did have to take a good rest, but we're glad that you're here. And so you guys know we started a new series last week called I Love My Church, right? And last week we did the introduction about what does it mean for you to love your church, right? What is it? And we talked about how God wants us, how we need to be intentional, that this is a church family, that Jesus died for the church. And so there's not another option. It's plan A. It's not a plan B for God's, in terms of what his plan was for the church. So what are we going to do? I want to thank everybody that came out. And I said it during the introduction. If you didn't get your iHeart C3 shirt, we have them here. But it was really cool to see everybody on Sunday wearing theirs. It was a blessed time. And so... We're building on that, right? We're still a small church. We graduated. I'm thinking about like diapers. You know, you graduate from one to another. We turn two. We're still a toddler church. And we've still got a lot of room to grow, but I'm excited about what God is doing through the life of the church and through you all, right? At the end of the day, we're called here to serve. You guys know that we planted this church out of an overflow of thankfulness for what God has done for us. Amen. So, we thank you guys for trusting us and coming alongside us on this journey. But today we're going to be spending some time in the title of today's sermon is I Love My Church, that's the theme, right? By connecting. I love my church by connecting. And so what I want to do right now is we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to connect with people? How do we connect how are we intentional as members of the church to connect with each other? Now, one of the things that's natural for us, I don't know if you guys know that, is it's not kind of, you might, how many of you guys are like outgoing people? Like if you're an interactor, you're outgoing, how many of you guys? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe like, I counted about 8 hands. How many of you guys are like introverts? Like you're in a social place, it's like, man, I would rather not talk to anybody. I'm good, just me and the Holy Spirit, we're good. People are like, I always say the chicken wing is happening, the pointing is happening, right? It's interesting. I'm a little bit of an introvert, but my you know, if you're like, no, but you're out here, you talk, and no, but if I'm like more in a public setting, I'm like, I'm cool just hanging out. Like, I don't like, I'm kind of just watch, not people watching, that's a different thing, but just more like, yeah, I'm good, right? I'll talk, I'm observing, I'm talking, and I'm fine just kind of hanging out. Just being me and Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit, right? I don't have to be all up in the mix. That's not my style. But some of us are pretty reserved, right? We have, you know, we don't like, it's not very easy for us to go outside of our what? Our comfort zones, right? It's like a little fence. It's a little personal fence that we see, right? So I'm going to put up on the screen, there's an image of different fences that we use here. And we're going to follow me with this analogy, right? Because part of what we're doing here is that if we're going to connect with people, we have to be very intentional to what? To get outside of those comfort zones, right? So how many of you guys have experience building maybe a fence in your backyard? Anybody? No? Adriana's like, nope. Right? You guys have, and it's a lot of work. Why do you put the fence up? Anybody? For privacy, right? Keep things out. Keep your kids in. Make sure your kids don't run out into the street. Right? It's a little bit of both. It's dual purpose to identify your property, right? Make sure that how many of you guys have nosy neighbors? A little bit of like, hey, what's going on in there? We used to have this neighbor, true story, on Palm, that literally, like, I would be walking and I could see her eye. I was like, what is wrong with you, lady? Remember her? She was terrible, and she would always be looking, and you'd be in the backyard, and you could see her eye, and I was like, are you looking at me through the fence? She was just really nosy, and she would hate it when our kids, you know, went, like, you couldn't even, if we walked on her sidewalk, she'd say, hey, don't be walking on the sidewalk. I was like, you don't own the sidewalk, lady, that belongs to the city. She was not a very nice person. We're going to pray for her, okay? But we put up fences, right? And that's just a visual thing, you know, how we put up fences in our life. But we also put up, like I said, personal fences, right? Boundaries around ourselves to say, like, well, and then you decide. You're the gatekeeper, right? Who do I let in? And who am I definitely not going to allow in? Does that make sense? So we're going to be spending some time talking about fences and the analogy. But today we're going to be reading from the book of Hebrews. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to be picking up there. We're actually going to read a good chunk of it. Initially, I was only going to select a small portion of it. But then, you know, whenever you're reading the Bible, there's oftentimes, whenever the verse starts with therefore, it's usually telling you, I said something important just before that. So initially, I was going to start with verse 19. I changed my mind. I'm just going to read the whole thing. And so let's read Hebrews 10, verse 1. It says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are to come, not the realities themselves. For this reason, I can never, by the same sacrifice, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated year after year, make those who draw near to them to worship. Otherwise, they would have not stopped and offered. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are annual reminders of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. He then said, here I am. It is what it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when the priest had offered, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has been made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Amen? I'm going to take a little break there because that's a big passage of Scripture. And you're like, whoa, you're going to keep reading? Like, no, we're going to take a break. We're going to stop a little bit. Because what we're noticing is that, listen, earlier you heard me talk about the introduction that we set up boundaries, right? We set up fences in our lives. And what we're seeing here is that we're seeing, and oftentimes, you know, I always say the context of the passage is who it's written to the Jewish church that's under persecution. There's a lot of pressure for them to what? To revert back to the Jewish ways. And so what he's doing there in this particular passage is he's talking about the law and how the law never made them clean. How the sacrifices that were being made over and over again could not, their sins could not be forgiven in that way. Does that make sense? In fact, they did them annually, once a year. Stephen, can you put up the picture of the temple? Yeah, there's a little infographic, and I didn't put my laser pointer up, but this is a little infographic of what the temple looked like, right? King Solomon's temple, when you had the court there. So this was called the holy place. This is the altar, right? And so where they would have burnt offerings, and then in here was a holy place, and then back here behind the veil was what? The Holy of Holies. Now, who was allowed to go in there? Do you guys know? We just read about it. It's the priest. Only the priest is going to go in there and sacrifice atonement. He would do it once a year. In fact, you guys remember, they would tie a rope around him to make sure that it, because God was so holy, right? And to make sure that if he was not clean himself, he would die, like on the spot. Imagine having that job. Like, you go in there, you already know that you're a sinner, right? So imagine having that job where they tie a rope around your foot and it's like, hey, go in there and sacrifice for the people. And all you hear is, and they drag you out. That's not a good job. But anyway, that's where the priest would go in and offer that. Now here you can kind of see there's a couple of cherubim they're called. But here's what? This little tiny thing right here is the Ark of the Covenant, right? You guys remember that? That's where they put when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, they actually lived there. And so this was a Holy of Holies. Now, all of that is the law and the religion and things that they were doing. Now, if you read the Old Testament, I especially enjoy reading the book of Judges. If you'll read the Old Testament, what's the common thing that you will see happen time and time again to the Israelites? What do? They remember God. They commit to Him. They repent. Things are good. And then what happens? They sin, they forget, they start intermarrying, they start worshiping idols, and then what happens? Calamity happens, destruction happens, and then they remember again. It's like a cycle, right? And so that's the law. They keep going back and forth. Like, listen, if you have, it's like telling your kids, these are the rules of the house, right? And do you have to tell them just once? No. How many times do you have to tell them? Lots of times, but you get tired of saying the same rule over and over again, right? That's like, amen? That's how God is with us. He says, I'm giving you instructions on how I want you to live your life, but we keep what? We keep sinning, right? And in the law, the only way that we would be atoned is by the sacrifice of what? It was either a lamb or a bull that was offered in sacrifice. And so what Paul is telling us now, oftentimes the letter of Hebrews or to the Hebrews is anonymous. I like to believe it's Paul, so I'll say Paul. But if you want to challenge me on the theology, that's okay too. We could talk about that after. You invite me to lunch. Okay, you want to, every time you want to talk about theology, you invite me to lunch. You pay, and I will pray. Talk all about what you want to do. Any question you have, yeah? That's a, Jesse knows that one. But that's what we're talking about here. So he's setting the stage to say, listen, the law was never meant to, would always just tell you how flawed you are, how bad you are, what a sinner that you are. It's like my scale in my restroom. Every time I step on it, it's, oh, you're terrible, right? Get off me, you're hurting me, right? That's like the law, right? Every time I step on the scale, it's like, oh man, it's, oh, it needs to be calibrated. Yes, thank you, brother. See? That's my brother right there, right? But the law just tells you how you're not quite there yet. You're not cutting it. And you had to have a priest go and be and atone and kill a poor little animal on your behalf. And then you would sin again, and guess what needed to happen again? Another one, right? You would think that, no, I was going to say something bad. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say something, but I'm not. So the first thing that we have to recognize, right, is that number one, what Paul is writing us, telling us to say, listen, we need to know that Jesus tore the veil and broke down all the fences. Now, what does that mean? That God came down. That there is separation between us and God. Why? Because is the God that we serve, is he a God that's like lukewarm to sin? It's like, eh, you sinned against me. I was just kidding about that one. Come on in. You've heard me say this analogy before. If somebody caused hurt or pain to you or your family, and that person was on trial, and the judge, you're up there and you give testimony and everything goes through, and at the end, the judge just says, you know what, I think he's really sorry. It's not a big deal. We're just going to let him or her go. How would you feel about that? You would be what? Upset. You would be mad. Why? Because there was an injustice done to you. Does that make sense? And so God is a just God too. And so God's just not going to turn a blind eye to say, listen, yeah, you know, I kind of changed my mind on this whole sin thing. No, God is perfect. He is holy. He is set apart. He can have nothing to do with sin and darkness. But he had to do what? Then he had to make a way. Because how could a people that are filled with sin, that are imperfect and flawed, make their way back to a good and perfect God? You can't. That's why he had to go first. He had to go first. And that's what we're reading here in this passage, is that God came down to tear down not just the personal fences, but the one that we can never cross. And it's our sin. Because the wages of sin is what? Death, right? And we needed to have a way back to the Father. And so we know that Jesus tore down the veil and he broke down the fences, right? In fact, I'm going to keep reading because I think I stopped there in verse 18. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, which I just talked about, by the blood of Jesus, by a new way of living, opened for us, through the curtain, that is his body. And so we have a great priest over God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we professed, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So we learned there is that, listen, Jesus, God tore the veil down, right? There's no way that we could have a way back to God. For a dramatic effect, I was going to put this curtain and I was going to come out with a machete and tear it, but my wife would have gotten mad. So I didn't do that. That would have been cool though, huh? Next time I'm going to do that. Next time. But I thought about it, but you know. But here's the other thing, right? I said, listen, we put up our own fences. You guys know that? How many of you guys, like the front part of your house, you have a fence? And the front part of your house, do you put like all kinds of, do you have a spare toilet out there, broken water heater, old all kinds of old stuff out there? I see somebody nodding their head. My brothers, I'll stop. You're getting me in trouble. No, the answer is no, right? Generally speaking, the front of the house is like pretty clean, right? The grass looks nice. The flowers are kind of looking pretty good, yeah? Except my house. I'm not going to lie. My house is like, sometimes you look there and like three or four times, like people will come and like a landscaper guy will come in. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, you need anybody? Like, I could do this for cheap. Like, like my life is busy, very busy, right? So sometimes, hey, if you're a landscaper, call me, right? You want to bless me? I could use some help. I did tear down some of these bushes that were like, look terrible. Like, so, sorry, let's get back in the car. I'm getting very distracted. But generally speaking, the front of your house where the fence is, right, it looks pretty nice, yeah? You keep it up. Now, if you go to your backyard, right, with the backyard, how does your backyard, is your backyard the same? If you're very meticulous in particular, then sure, right? Some of you guys are like, hey, I'm my front yard looks good, my backyard looks, I'm good. But not all of us. Some of us is like, you go into the backyard and you're like, whoa, the weeds are like this tall. True story, I grew up in Orange Cove, all right? I was telling you, I grew up in Orange Cove on 4th Street. My dad had rentals when we were growing up. So my dad never throws anything away. Anything at all, right? So you would walk into the backyard and you would see what? Toilets, heaters, old swamp coolers, stoves. It was like, you're like, what the heck's going on right here? Like I'm at Sanford and Son, like it was in Orange Cove. And that's how it was. The front of the house looked good, right? We had a fence and we even had the little fence with the lions on it. Remember that? We painted those white. Remember that? My brother and I, we made that fence. And so, but the backyard was something else, right? Here's where I'm going. It's like, are you going to like bring it home? Yeah, I want to bring it home. Your life is like that, right? Now, the other analogy is, which I talked about last week, is your Instagram life. The part of you that you want everybody to see. But there's other parts of your life that it's like, man, I don't want nobody to see that. And here's the thing is that, listen, God came and he came down and he died a terrible death on the cross for us. And you heard me say this before, like if you've tried to do it your own way, you won't get there. You're not God. Only God can save you from sin. Only God can save us from ourselves. And Jesus came and he gave his life so that we could have a way back to him. But that only happens when what? When we allow him in. When you say, Jesus, here's the part that I show to the world, the part that it makes that I'm good, that I'm happy, that things are fine, but the part of me when people say, how are you doing, brother? And we say, I'm good. And you just kind of close the door. The I'm good closed. Do you guys do that? I do it. I'll be honest with you guys. I do it. But if we're honest, Jesus didn't come for the nice part of your life. He didn't come for your manicured or your Instagram best life. He came for all the mess that's inside. Does that make sense? And he came to help us clean all of that up and process all that up and said, listen, I don't care about all that. And I know I'm using that analogy of the front yard, but Jesus came to make us whole, right? To forgive us of our sins, of our brokenness, of our hurts and our pains, so that we might have a way back to the Father, and we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're talking about today, is that, listen, if we want to grow, if we want to love the church by connecting, first things first is what? We got to connect to God. We can't think that we're going to do something super, that God is going to come in and do something supernatural in the body of the church if we're not connected first with Jesus Christ. If we're not filled first with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what's happening here. And listen, something supernatural will happen when we love God and love Jesus that way. Because then we have the ability to love each other that way. If not, you know, I'll be honest with you. Some of us in here, we have some bad, not bad, here's the thing. We have flaws, yeah? Some of us in here are flawed. Yes? Some of you guys are in denial. It's okay. The person that knows you best knows that you're flawed. And some of us do things that annoy people, yeah? Right? Now, this is not the time afterwards. I'm not inviting you to come and tell me, well, Pastor, I don't like when you do this, or Pastor, when you said that, and Pastor, now, this is not that kind of invitation. But what I'm saying is that that we're flawed. All of us are flawed. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we understand that God brought us together for a reason, glorify Him, that people could see the true love of the church by connecting with one another. That's what we're talking about today. Is that we have to love God first, and then we can be able to love each other in a way that is supernatural. And that's kind of what we learned about last week. But the second part and the second point for today's message, right, is number one, that Jesus came, He tore the veil. He wants to get into your business, the good side of your life, and all the mess that you keep in your backyard. Does that make sense? You guys are following the analogy? The second thing is that we have to allow others into your life. You have to allow others into your yard. Now that's the part where you say, well, I don't know. I come here to church because I want to know more about God. I need God in my life for sure. I want to be forgiven of my sins. This Jesus, oh man, I love me some Jesus. But now you're saying that I have to do life with the people? I have to let people in? Maybe not. That makes sense? Because it's easier. It's like, hey, me and God, He loves me. He forgives me of my sins. Amen. I love His word. I'm encouraged. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. But now I got to share my life with other people. And that part, we don't always like so much. That part, it's easier just to say, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I got to go. I don't have time. Does that make sense? We have to allow others into our life. We have to allow others into our life. And Hebrews 10:25 says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? They say now is not the time to stop meeting. Your life, let me just listen to me. Your life is always going to be busy. Your life is always going to be busy. You just have to make a decision whether you're going to do it or not. Right? And that's what we're talking about here, is we have to prioritize the things of God, right? The family matters. That it's not based on a feeling, it's based on what God has called you to do. Like parents, as a parent, I'm looking at the new parents, right? There's sometimes when she wakes up and you're like, you really don't feel like waking up at 2 a.m. to feed her. That makes sense? But you do it what? You do it anyway. Right? Because you what? You have to sacrifice. You're called to love. She's connected to you. She's your child. Does that make sense? But you do it because you love. It's not a feeling or an emotion. And that's what I'm talking about today, is that we have to be very intentional to connect with one another. You're always going to be busy. You're always going to be stretched for time. But you have to make a decision that what does it matter, right? The body of Christ matters. Your church family matters. Your church body needs you. Sometimes, a lot of times, you know, we look at it as like, oh, I'm tired, or I don't know if I'm going to get out of it. And we look at it like what? I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. What's in it for me? You're not thinking that somebody, that God has an appointment for you to encourage a brother or a sister by just showing up. That you don't know that God is planning and weaving and doing something amazing to say, man, you just show up. Because with the Holy Spirit comes in and says, yeah, that's the person that I want you to talk to. That's the encouragement that I want you to give. Does that make sense? But we have to allow people into our lives. And we don't like that. It's easier to keep people at arm's length. Because what? said it last week. My family's messed up like your family's messed up. That make sense? And we don't like that. I'm flawed. It's easier for me to like, yeah, I'm going to keep you guys at arm's length. God didn't come for that. Then we're just being religious about this thing. We're just coming, showing up and singing songs. And we're gathering together, but we're not doing life together. And that's not what God intended for us as a church body. So we have to allow others into our life. And we also have to give and ask for permission, right? Meaning, I'm not going to go up and just say like, hey, brother, this and that. Like, you know, I said it yesterday at a men's thing. I'm not here to shame, or I'm here to encourage, to love. I'm not here to beat people up or put people down. That's not what I'm here to do, right? The world already does that enough. But in love, we are supposed to correct each other, yeah? In gentleness and humility, we love each other enough to stand for the truth, yeah? And so that's what God is calling us to do. But we have to allow others into our life, into our yard, into the graveyard is what I call it. We have a graveyard at our house. Not like a physical, they're like, what? You're selling plots, Pastor? That church is going to be built real quick, guys. No. No. We built a fence, right? Speaking of fences, where if you go on the other side of the fence, there's like, that's the graveyard I was talking about. There's all kinds of old junk, right? But we have to allow each other into those spaces. Why? Because God wants to use us to encourage and build up the body. God wants to help use you, right? And so sometimes when we talk about, hey, we got this event coming up. Hey, women's study is coming up. Hey, the men's group is coming up. Hey, we got next gen coming up. It's an invitation for you to be present as part of the body because it matters. That God, it wants to use you to encourage, to be a part of the body. Every part is important, right? We learned that last week. We talked about the little toe. We talked about the ear. We talked about the eyebrows. Every part is important. But we have to allow others into our life. And we won't do that if we're just, you know, for lack of a better word, just fronting. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm doing fine. Praise God. Does that sound familiar at all? I'm just saying. Listen, Jesus paid the greatest debt, right? So that we might have a way back to Him. And it's our job to make sure that we're being real and authentic with each other. Jesus died for the church, brothers and sisters, right? And it's important. We can never, right, make it back to God without Him. Continue on. Let's show that picture that I have up there. All right, because some of you guys show up to church, and you're like this guy. Some of you guys show up to church, and you only let people see about this much of your life. You guys remember this show? It's Wilson, right? It's Wilson. I actually looked up his face because I was like, what does he look like? Right? And he would always, because it was Tim the Tool Man, right? Would go and he would talk to him and he would give a lot of like wisdom. But you never really knew what he was like, right? You just saw this much of his life. And some of you think that you're going to get the fullness of the church experience, the fullness of the church body by living your life like this. Yeah. Hey, brother, how are you? I'm good. Are you really good? Yeah, I'm fine. Fine. Good. Praise God. How are you? I'm good, sister. Oh, praise God. Yeah. Okay. And that's not, listen, that's kind of awkward, right? If you live through your life like this, this is about all that you can see. I mean, you better have pretty eyes. You have ugly eyes, sorry. But that's all you're showing people. No, God is, He's inviting us to the full experience, right? God gave His life so that we could have oneness in relationship with Him. It's different when you just see somebody from afar, right? You know who's the notorious hugger in our church? That man in the back, right? Whenever I see him, I know my back's about to get popped. Because he hugs me like deeply, you know what I mean? And I feel, I was like, man, this guy really loves me or he just wants to hurt me. But I'm just going to go with the one that he loves me. Right? But isn't it different that when you see somebody, when you interact with somebody, doesn't it feel good to say like, hey, brother, man, I missed you. Thank you, Joey, that you're here. God bless you. How's life? What's going on? Let's get to know it. Let's catch up. What's happening? Doesn't that make a difference? If I keep living my life the way like, if you're going to be a Wilson Christian, you're just like, I'm good. Praise God. It's all easy. It's like, let's be real. We have to allow people into our lives. And we have to speak life and be present. And that's what it means for us to do community together, is that, listen, we can't have fences up. It's all right. I'm going to say it time and time again. You're going to hear me say this all the time. My family's messed up like your family's messed up. Let's all forget about that. Jesus came and he said, let's do this thing right. Let's be authentic with each other, yeah? We can encourage each other. We can pray for one another. We can help one another. All the 52 one another's, right? I don't know if you read the New Testament. It's like, pray for one another, support one another, care for one another. You can't do that by yourself. You can't do that from looking out of the fence, right? And that makes us feel uncomfortable. Guess what? It's going to take you to be a little bit uncomfortable to what? To grow. It's going to take you to feel a little bit uncomfortable to open up. To know that on the other side of that, what? That uncomfortable feeling, God wants to do something amazing in your life and use you as well to build you up, to build up His body. Because on the other side, I always say, listen, on the other side of pain, uncomfortableness, hurt, is a better version of you that God is bringing you through it. Does that make sense? He doesn't want to just leave you where you're comfortable. He wants to bring you through that. And it means that we have to allow others into our life, right? Because number three, right? When you do that, you get to enjoy the company and the fellowship of your church family. You get to enjoy the company and the fellowship of your church family. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur each other towards love and good deeds. That's Hebrews 10:24. Now, the key word that kind of stands out to me is what? Consider. When you consider something, what are you thinking? What's usually, when you think about the word consider, what comes to your mind? Anybody? Pondering, right? You're thinking about it. When you're thinking about it, what is happening? The front part of your brain is activated. It means that you're planning, that you're looking forward. It means that when the kids come up here and they do a great job about the announcements, you pull out your phone and say, I'm going to plan to be there, right? I'm going to plan to go on Tuesday. I got nothing else. I don't have and of course, some of us have work commitments, some of us have other things. But if I'm free as much as I can, I'm not going to say, I'm going to reserve the time slot on Tuesday. I'm going to put a spot. If I'm not tired, I'll go. Right? You're always going to be tired. Same thing for women's meetups. The women's Bible study, right? Coming in Next Gen to support. I said, listen, the youth show up, but just show up and hang out. It's fine. You're welcome. I'll let you jump on the trampoline. It's cool. You know? But it's called being intentional. Consider, have a plan, think about it. Don't just think that things are going to magically happen, that you're going to have these great relationships when you're not investing the time. That's not the way that God works. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He did the work. And then we just say, I'm saved, I'm good. You just scratched the surface of who God is. Does that make sense? We have to pour ourselves into Him, who He is. You started coming to church. Man, it's a good, you know, it's a decent church. The pastor messes up when he sings all the time. Sometimes he's not that funny. You know, maybe we should go somewhere else. You know, I'm shopping around for churches. You're not going to get the full experience of it. Because God is a God of relationship. The church is also built on relationships. It means that you need to invest time. And it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you a little bit of comfort. But I just said this. What else do you have to do? I'm not saying like abandon your kids, and I'm not saying abandon your first ministry. I'm not saying that at all. But outside of that, we have time. We have to be intentional to connect with one another because you get to enjoy the company and the fellowship of the church. I mean that. Sometimes I say this all the time. Sometimes I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired. I feel like we're on the go a lot. But when we show up for the things of God, guess what? God is there and my brothers and sisters are there, and it's always a blessed time. But we have to show up. The devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. He's like, man, you're so busy. You deserve a little more Netflix in your life. The devil's a liar, right? You've been working hard all week. Somebody else will go, right? The thing about it is like, man, listen, what if you knew up front that God wanted to use you to build up a brother or a sister to encourage them? What if God told you, hey, I have a divine appointment for you. I have a task that only you can do. Would you go? You would go, huh? But the reality is that's what God does. You have to show up by faith. You have to show up to serve, not seeking that I'm just going to be the one that's receiving. I'm here to receive something. And if I'm tired, I'll go. Man, you're robbing yourself of the blessing. That God wants to use you to do something amazing for the body. And listen, He died for the church. And we want to be lukewarm in our relationship with the church. He died for the church. And we just say, my favorite show's not on. If the Niners aren't playing, the Raiders. I'm sorry, brother. We're going to keep praying. That's why God made you a Raider fan, a man of faith. Me too. I'm a Bills fan every year, Bengals fan over here. We got some men of faith up in here. But it's not about our teams. It's not about this and that. Listen, I'm not saying abandon your first ministry, your family, your kids. But outside of that, man, for the things of church, we need to show up. Jesus died for the church. And so we have to give it that level of importance too. Man, if Jesus says, this is important, and we just say, well, if I want to, what's in it for me? What if Jesus had the same attitude? When the Father says, I'm going to send you down to save all these sinners. Jesus is like, man, I'm watching lecture on that, Father. Right? I'm tired. Oh, right? What does God do? He loves us sacrificially. He gives us of Himself. That's what I hope you guys are kind of tracking what I'm saying here. And when you show up, right, when two or three are gathered, who else is there? Jesus is there. So if I told you that Jesus was showing up on Tuesdays, right, you want to be there. Now, if I told you that Taylor Swift was showing up somewhere, you would be like, oh my gosh, showgirl. Right? Don't do that ever again. Don't ever do that again. But if I told you, like, that's just Taylor Swift. She's a creative. But we said Jesus is showing up on Sunday and Tuesdays to women's group, to men's group. He's there at Next Gen. We would want to be there, yes? That's all I'm saying. I will never make that show. Ever again, okay? Forgive me. I just... showgirl. Oh, man, I'm never going to let that one down. But you enjoy the company and the fellowship of the church, yes? And when you show up, isn't it awesome, man? I always say, that's the other thing, too. It's like, it's okay for us to laugh, to have a good time. I see the Father sitting. It's like, man, I love it when my kids are together and they're laughing and having fellowship. Like when your kids are together, right? Doesn't it make you feel good when your kids are laughing and enjoying having a good time? It's not like God is like that mean teacher that you had, like, no laughing, no talking, just sit there. That's not, you think that the Father is up in heaven seeing that? I don't think so. Because He made us for a relationship. Why? How do we know that? He sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could have a relationship with Him. And so what? He says, listen, I'm making a way. Right, for you to have a relationship back to me, and then you have a relationship with each other, and I'm filling you with the Holy Spirit. But you have to what? You got to show up. You got to commit. Your relationship with God is I'm being honest with you. He's like, you can never have enough God. You will never, on this side of heaven, will never have the fullness of who God is. But we seek him out anyway, yeah? And then he says, listen, I want you to be a part of the body. I want you to serve. I want you to encourage. I want you to sharpen a little bit of iron. Right? But it takes showing up. Because God is a God of relationship. And he died for the church. And we get to enjoy the company and the fellowship of church family. So how do we apply today's message? It's in your little, actually, wrote it out for you. You got to do those four things. You got to show up and get connected to the church body. Join a community group. Attend women's Bible study, men's Bible study. Go to the coffee meetups. Show up to the church-wide events. You're going to be blessed. Not because I'm going to be there, but because Jesus is going to be there. Amen? We have to have healthy expectations too. Listen, as a church, we're still a small church. We can have some deep relationships right now. But even in a church of our size, if everybody shows up, there's about 55 of us. It's going to be really hard to have deep, deep, deep relationships with everybody. So I'm saying let's have realistic expectations, right? We can be friends. We can be brothers and sisters. We can have that like authentic relationships. I'm genuinely excited to see you, brother. I genuinely love you. You know what I'm saying? But then at the same time, you need to have a smaller group of people that you are connected, that know you, that you're doing life with. Does that make sense? We're doing that together. But we have to be realistic. Realistic expectations. Does that make sense? I don't want people to walk away and say, well, pastor said he's going to be my best friend forever, but he never has time for me. I'm not saying that. I want to be your best friend forever, but there's only one of me. Does that make sense? And I got a job, and I have kids, and I have a wife. And she's my best friend forever. So, like, that makes... I'm sorry. I'm losing you guys. We do have to have realistic expectations. That makes sense? But I want us to be authentic with each other, right? Healthy relationships. And then deep relationships with a smaller group. We have to take ownership and realize that building a healthy relationship and fellowship in the church is everyone's job. It's everyone's job, not just my job. And I said this last week, if I ever let you down, let me know. Let's talk about it. You need to know my heart. My heart is to serve Jesus and to serve you. If you want me to go over to your house and wash your feet, I will show up and wash your feet. I won't wash the floors, but I wash your feet. But we got to take ownership of that. And oftentimes, like I said, people show up and it's like, well, the church didn't really work for me. I really wasn't getting a lot of it out of it. And I'll ask you the first question is, well, how much were you putting in? How much were you giving? How much were you sacrificing? I said this last week, we want to approach the bride of Christ like, what's in it for me? And if you approach relationships like that, I will tell you right now that you are going to be deeply dissatisfied with a lot of relationships in your life. Because I've said this time and time again, when you want to get the fullness out of a relationship, it's going to cost you something. And I say it in the context of marriage all the time, it's going to cost you everything. Because that's the way that Jesus loves us. And we have to sacrifice that way. We have to love each other that way. Put your personal things aside and your Netflix binge watching aside and whatever and just show up. The more that you pour into the things of God, the more that you're going to receive out of it. We can't just expect the relationship with the church is going to be a relationship of the church is always giving and giving and giving and you're always what? Taking and taking and taking. You know takers in your life? Do you like those people? You don't, right? We love them, right? I'm saying, if you're legit, you know, have some takers in your life? Yeah, every time it's like, man, every time you're around there, it's like they rob you of your time, your energy, your joy. It's like a black hole. You know what I'm saying? You know people like that? And all I'm saying is, like, listen, if you're not fully committed to your relationship with Jesus Christ and you're not committed to the church, you're kind of being like that person. What's in it for me, Jesus? if I have time. And you're just taking and taking from the church, the bride of Christ. You're just taking and taking and taking. What's in it for me? It's like that person that you invite to the barbecue that doesn't bring anything and takes home like 3 plates. You're like, really? You didn't even bring anything. You're taking 3 plates home. Right? I'm just saying, you know people like that in your family? You're like, really, man? I bring a pack of weenies, we can barbecue it like something. But no, you taking 3 plates home. Don't be that person to the church. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't show up empty-handed and expect to have like 3 or 4 plates coming out. Say, oh man, they hooked me up. I like that church. No, you gotta show up. All right. I think you guys get the point. Number 4, loving the church means we love all parts of the body and we agree not to separate ourselves or create cliques in the church. It's not what God intended. There's no 4? No. It's on the bottom of your handout. I wasn't quizzing you on that one. I just want you to take it home. I want you just to have that one. Number 3, I think I said that one, no? But number 4 on the handout, applying it. Loving the church means we love all parts. Even that one that kind of annoys you sometimes. You got to love them anyway. Love her anyway. Love me anyway. Make sense? I'm flawed. You're flawed. Let's get over it. Let's love each other the way that Jesus intended. That makes sense? And let's not have these little cliques like, oh, that guy over there, or this group here, they're from OC, that's the Reedley group. Forget all that. Right? Jesus died for all of us. We have to love each other sacrificially that way. Amen? All right. We're going to take communion today. I don't think we're, Brother Ken, coming through with the, you guys like the blue cloth? It's awesome, right? Yeah. See, little things like that, people don't know. It's like, hey, I didn't even, he's like, he called me, he said, hey, I got something for you. What's going on? He said, hey, we made this tablecloth cover. And then the day he delivered it, he's like, my brother's colorblind, it's not blue, it's purple. I told him the color. Actually, it's even better, right? It's God's color, right? The color of royalty, amen? So he knew what he was doing. See, little things like that. Look for a place of service and opportunity, right? Thank you, brother. And so that's all. So today we get to partake in that. We get to partake in the communion. And what does it mean for us to have that relationship connection with Jesus Christ? That the veil was torn. And that we get to enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of Exodus chapter 12, you guys remember that, right? What do we celebrate? Celebrating the remembrance of what happened. What did God do in the book of Exodus, right? After 430 years of slavery, He set them free. And so we celebrate that. We remember what happened then because of what Jesus did in the upper room. As the disciples and Jesus were preparing for Passover, because they were celebrating that they were going to have to slaughter a blameless lamb. He was telling them in advance. It's kind of like a foreshadowing of what was to come. That in the same way that the Israelites had to sacrifice a lamb, spotless lamb, for the Passover, right? When God would came over them, when the 10th plague was happening, He said, listen, if you have the blood on the doorposts, I'll pass over and the destroyer will not come in. That's in Exodus chapter 12. And then you guys remember what John the Baptist is, the Lamb of God, right, that came to take away the sins of the world. And so we celebrate that once a month here at Christ Community Church. And we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's what we're going to celebrate today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we are not bound by the law, but Lord God, you allow us to enter the Holy of Holies, Lord God, by being covered by your blood, Lord God, by the faith in you, Lord Jesus. That we don't have to wonder, Lord God, what you're like, Lord. We don't have to imagine, Lord God, number one, you came to do away with all the barriers, Lord God. You came to do away with our sin, Lord God, our shame and our guilt by surrendering your life on the cross, Lord God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love for us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and your sacrifice, Lord. And I'll say this time and time again, I will never fully be able to wrap my brain around your love for us and what you endured. And Lord, you offer your salvation to us freely, Lord God, by faith in you. And Lord, as you were preparing, Lord God, that Passover meal and celebrating that with your disciples, you reminded us and you gave them a commandment, Lord God, to do this, Lord, in remembrance of what you've done and what you were going to do. Lord Jesus, you are so awesome, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that in putting our faith in you, that we are redeemed, Lord. That we pass not just from slavery to freedom, Lord God, we have the burden of our sins forgiven. And more importantly, and equally as important, I would say, is that we have an opportunity to commune with you, to be known by you. Lord God, you invite us not only just to a relationship here now, Lord, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you also, Lord, invite us to spend eternity, Lord God, with you. We could never earn it. That's why you're so merciful and loving to us. So thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. And Lord, you remind us and you warn us, Lord God, as well in your word, that we need to examine our hearts, that we need to repent, that we need to turn away, Lord. If there's something that is hindering our walk with you, Lord God, we need to surrender to you right now. So I will pray for us corporately, but everybody in here, please just inspect your heart and know that you can't fool me. You can't fool God. You might be able to fool me, but you can't fool God. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And so while I'm praying for forgiveness of the church, please right now inspect your heart. If there's something that is a stumbling block or something that you need to surrender to Jesus, do it today. Repent. Turn away. That's all that means, is turn away from the sin. Ask for forgiveness. Jesus is faithful to forgive. He already died on the cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. So, Father God, Lord Jesus, we just come before you humbly, Lord God. And we ask that you forgive us, Lord, for the sins that we commit and the sins that we, and for the sins of disobedience, Lord. And you're prompting us and we're disobedient. But, Father God, help us to turn to you, Lord God, to seek you out fully in relationship. Lord, help us to stand in the gap, Lord God. Help us to continue to stay away from just the temptation, Lord God, that sometimes entangles us, Lord God. Help us to renew our minds daily in your word. I want to thank you again for your sacrifice for us, Lord, and your death on the cross. 1 Corinthians 11:27, they give a warning there. Paul writes it and says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And everyone should examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So, Father God, forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Watch over us, guide us, Lord. Help us through prayer and receive from you, Lord God, to remember what you did so many years on the cross on Calvary. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your love for us, Lord. For the sacrifice that you made, Lord God, by sending your Son to die on the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you for fulfilling the will of the Father, Lord God. Thank you for your, just for your love. I cannot say it enough, that you would give your life to save broken people like us, Lord God. I can't wrap my brain around it, but you are God, and you are so merciful to us and so kind to us, Lord God. So thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, thank you again, allowing us to commune with you, to be known by you. Thank you that you came and you tore the veil that we could have a relationship with you, Lord God. Help us to surrender our lives fully to you, Lord God. To love you, Lord, with no limits, with everything that we have. And help us to love your church in the same way. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.